Okay. Anyone wants to react to that? I want to share this with you. This person says, I am a male teacher working in a primary school. It was my initial intention to be a mentor to some of my students, girls included, but especially some of the high-risk boys. However, some onlookers, including some of my own work colleagues, seem to think that as a male, I have some sinister ulterior motive to entice these students. So I am now being treated like some kind of pedophile. I know that the skeptics would always be with us, but I never imagined that my reputation and character would have taken such a battering. The writer concludes by saying, it is hard being a male teacher in these times. It's like every male teacher falls into the category of a potential child molester. Panelists, is it that bad out there?
But they left the system about, the secondary system about 10 or so years ago.
Who's speaking?
This is Dr. Marshall. Again.
Yeah.
Yes, and I can't say that it is. What you might have instances of persons thinking along the lines that he would have described, I don't think it is widespread, because there are several teachers, even the time when it was in the actual secondary in the classroom, I saw teachers who were doing just what the caller suggested. Or the contributor. So I'm just saying that I don't think it is that dire. You will have obviously the outliers in any data set, but I don't think that type of alarmist mentality should really pervade what we are discussing now, because there are many teachers, many principals, many males that actually mentor boys especially and run programs, whether it's Agonar programs or sports programs. I mean, there are several things that they do to try to reach boys. So it goes back to what type of protocols you would have established from the beginning. Because if you're doing any program, for example, and you know that there's a possibility that you might be seen in a particular light, there are certain protocols that you observe. For example, you don't meet with children except you are in an open space or you have a peer with you. So whatever is happening there, there's always that arm's length and that transparency involved. So in other words, you put things in place to protect yourself against any cases where persons will say, okay, yes, he's guilty of X or Y. So therefore, that is what you do if you are serious about mentoring and so on. You don't do it on your own. You get people there as to be there as support and protection for you as well. So you do it in peers and or whatever you have to, but the point is you don't do those things on your own, because you know the risk that you would encounter if, for example, you are in, let's say you're in a classroom counseling, let's say a female student. Those are things that you do not do. Even in basic counseling, they always tell you that males should counsel males and females should counsel females. And even if you're doing it, you always have a peer next to you, because it protects you and it protects the person who is there. And those are basic protocols that you must put in place if you're going to help the young men or women for that matter.
Okay, let's take another call. Hello, Brass Tack Sunday. Sorry to keep you waiting if you've been there long. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes,
I'm glad to get on for the program. I would like to say a special welcome to the young guy there, Sergeant?
Yes, Fabian Sergeant.
I know him. I believe that over 45 years ago, we had the same discussion. And the last caller made some very valid points when he was saying that when we have these seminars, we should go up bare men. Because even based off of some of the calls you receive on WhatsApp or email, you see what the female intention is. And the female has always been manipulated. And despite whatever all these good intentions the panelists there got, the fact remains is that within the first 7 years of that child's life, he has been conquering that boy's life. He has been conquering a female. A female cannot think like a male. And the problem with the boys is we have people carrying the girls to university and the boys dropping them off and this type of thing. But if they are trained by the females, they would always believe that they are to be beck and call of every female. And earlier, one of the
So the question that the question which I think you need to come to terms with is, given the structure, given the way that things are, what kind of support are you going to put in place for the men, recognizing that things have changed?
But this is the point that I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
We know, you and I both know, that a man do not really talk, even about his sicknesses and whatever, he don't talk. And it's very difficult for all the panelists there to ever reach a fellow of assembly of 5,000 men. The boy, Sergeant, he just said that he got a call about 25. Look at 25 boys to a multitude about 40 or 50,000 boys and see where these things will be going. It will not be going nowhere because somehow...
So would you do nothing?
No. I'm not saying you would not do nothing. I am saying that the focus would be on the parenting. And if the parenting is successful, if it could be successful, if the women would allow the men to be men from boyhood, that is where the problem lies. Because if you are going to tell a boy that he's inferior to a girl, if you are going to tell a boy that he's worth nothing, and I remember a year ago before the former chief of education, when she said it, she said that boys were always being unfair in school, and Corey was the moderator. And he did not question her. He did not challenge her about it. Let me hear why. And that's the problem we have. We have this problem in society where men are supposed to be men, but women are not supposed to be women. Women supposed to be the bearer of the children.
Well,
the first early years of their life
is what determines
where they are
going to go. One of the problems that I've noticed over the years is
I got another point.
Once you start to discuss this kind of issue, it can degenerate into a situation where one gender is attacking the other. And what we're really trying to do here is to take this discussion to a different level, to recognize that there are certain... recognize that there are certain difficulties and differences that we have. And how are we going to work with those differences so that you fill in the gaps? That's what I want you to focus on, what we're going to do for the male in this society.
Let me say this to you, right?
Mm.
You find that people are going to criticize and it's on the nucleus of the men to provide this and provide the next.
Mm.
Women are going to criticize the men at every sphere. But the point is, men are going to criticize men too. And that's a point that somebody on the panel was making. Up to Thursday, when they had Mr. Sean Sargent, he came to highlight men and whatever, because it was men days. And the moderator carried down the road about how much Catholics and Boy Scouts, people live with boys and all sorts of things. Which was degrading to me as a man, because we know that there are very few of you in all their days, because me and you both the same age, and be a pivot above you. Some worry to Scouts, but the foundation of your development was based off of that community in which you live.
Yeah.
So when everybody lashing at the men, at the boys, lashing at the male, it means that it is extremely difficult for a man to survive in today's world.
Yeah, but I think
to
the panelists, I think basically what this caller is referring to is a culture where even the men in this society seem to undermine the confidence of other men. Men in this society remain silent on a number of things that are done and said, and it seems as though, you know, they've been beaten into submission. Fabian Sargent?
Yeah.
How do we deal with that?
The foundation to a lot of this, again, I mean, we may sound like stick records, both Tony and myself, is the whole awareness of the emotional man. Okay, I want to probably bring two experiences to the fore. So I want to commend the National Assistance Board. For the last 2 years, I think they've been going on even before 2 years, but I would have been the lead facilitator for two workshops that they would have facilitated, catering to 150 men on each occasion. And trust me, the room was packed for each whole-day seminar, right? On the first occasion, the ladies were the ones who actually planned. The staff were ladies who planned the event. The men literally ran the women out of the room. The men said, listen, we need to have this space for ourselves. I mean, no disrespect, even the minister was there. But they ran all of the women out the room. And when these women left the room, the discussion changed. I mean, everything changed. These men, the personalities, the language, everything changed. So that the last one they had, the women planned it, but they said, you know what? I ain't even coming in the room. You know, there is a need for a space where men can express themselves and where men can learn how to validate men. Now, this is where we come down. You say that men is pulled down men or whatever. That is a culture that we have to try to curtail. We need to wrestle that culture to the ground. And let men start telling each other, well, look, you know, you're doing a good job. And when you're doing a bad job, you need to say it and not glamorize it, you know, and be supportive of each other. It is very easy for us to go down the negative road. Now, I just want to talk back a little bit about the school situation. There was a school that I attended that I went to meet with the head of the establishment here a few years ago. And a boy at the point in time came down the corridor cursing and getting on in the worst way. I was so shocked. I was like, oh gosh, so this child is going to get put out of school, but I can't believe this type of language is being used. And the head of that establishment was so emotionally contained. It was a lady. And she stood and she listened to him. She paid him attention. And by the time she was finished with him, she chopped him down so fine that he went back to the class and adhered to the punishment that the teacher that he was running from had given to him. I mean, that how she dealt with that situation, she could have responded negative and she could have taken it personally. And that was just one of the things that even, again, what Tony would have mentioned to us last weekend, that, I mean, life is not to be taken personally. Or taking it personally is the ultimate degree of selfishness. Because at that point in time, she understood that there was something deeper happening in that child's life, resulting in the way he was behaving. And she did not mirror that behavior. She allowed him to express himself, and then went back at him with a different approach, a more emotionally contained approach, in a very professional way. It's very strategic. So I'm saying that there are teachers out there who possess these skills. But these skills also need to be taught to the wider group of teachers across the education system, where they get to understand that children are emotional too. You see, even at primary school level, children are emotional, but they cannot identify the emotions that they're exhibiting. We as adults have difficulty with identifying our emotions and even naming the emotions that we exhibit. So you can imagine from school level what that child is going through, feeling something, and not being able to express it, but because the environment that they belong to tell them that they should respond in a particular way. And that is why we get this cursing and quarreling and this whole hostile type of behavior. So, I mean, we need a whole system change. We need to really, really get a lot of these persons trained in emotional intelligence if you are going to reach any success.
What's the way forward for your organization in pursuit of these goals?
So as I would have mentioned in the beginning, next year we're looking to relook our men's talk. So at this point, we have men's talk every 2 weeks. And it is, we're held, before we were at the Barbados Family Planning, now we're held at the Emmanuel Lifestyle Center in the Ivy. But next year, what we want to do is to take it outside. We want to visit different communities. We want to take it to the blocks. We want to take it to the schools. We're also looking to do some very structured mentorship programs, nothing too heavy. So we just really want, and then we want to focus on the counseling, the group counseling and the individual counseling. So next year, we have 3 main things on the agenda so that we can really strengthen them. We can really, and then I forget the EQ training, because we're looking to have all of our men trained in emotional intelligence. It's a formal training that we're looking to have with Tony as facilitator. And this would pretty much, I believe that this should complement the whole process of 5,000 men across Barbados in emotional intelligence.
Tony, your way forward?
as best as we can, help men to, one, find themselves. That means making peace with their past, accepting responsibility for their choices in the present, and making decisions about the kind of men they want to be going forward, and the kind of legacy, the kind of difference that they want to make in the earth.
Kenneth, yeah? Thank you. Kenneth Straker, you made a contribution earlier. Quite a lot has been said since we last heard from you. What do you take away from this discussion today?
I take away a lot, because at the end of the day, we as men need to be more supportive with each other. We need to be more understanding, more open, and we also need that moral support as our family. And be more open-minded with our challenges, and we need to reach out to one another.
Okay.
Rather than laughing at each other, be more there for each other.
Yes. Imran Richards?
I think one of the things that I heard coming out a lot is not just to look at our education system, but to look at our systems of education. Peter Drucker makes a statement that culture eats strategy for breakfast. We can employ a number of various strategies, undertake a number of different initiatives, but until we really get to the root of the issue, which is dealing with issues of family, parenting, and so forth, we don't change the culture, and we continue to see a cycle.
And Corey Lane.
Yes, David, thank you. As we close, my thing is, what do we want out of all of this? This is a question in terms of the gender relation. Where is the ideal? What is a man? What is a woman? What is a Bajan? You know, that is where I would like to leave us with those questions. And when we can answer those questions for ourselves and as a society, I think that is the starting point. And I cannot leave without reiterating the call for action. Something you said earlier this week, David, you know, it's good that we had this discussion as men. You throw a couple of women in here, the discussion changes. I'd like to see, yes, we have the safe space for men, but that men and women can have these discussions together in a very productive way. I think that is the next step forward, to have a panel like this with women and men and being able to have some kind of a middle ground and consensus on the way forward.
I think that is possible, but one of the realities is that if you cannot, you have to look after self first. And you need to strengthen what is happening among men, what's happening, what are the concerns that come from an organization, for instance, like the National Organization of Women, and where the two have things in common, because it can be divided on everything. There are some things that you may be divided on, but you can't be divided on everything. And, you know, what emerges here today, hopefully, will take us to another discussion later on, because a lot of what you discuss tends to focus on young people. So all of this has been skewed towards the youth. But old men, there are quite a lot of them too. I mean, if I look at what happens out there when it comes to the feeding program, you see a lot of elderly people. And there is not a lot of discussion and focus on their lives and how the society is going to respond to their specific challenges as well. But I want to thank you all very much for being an excellent panel here today and giving us some food for thought on this subject of men in BIM and where we appear to be headed. Tony Olton, Ian Marshall, Kenneth Straker, Imran Richards, Fabian Sargent, Corey Lane. Regrettably, we didn't get a chance to hear from one of the other panelists, but apparently his equipment wasn't working well enough, so we missed him, but perhaps he will be with us next time. That's Gerald Walcott. Special thanks also to Dennis Johnson, the technical operator and producer. I'm David Ellis. This has been Brass Tax Sunday, brought to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. Do have a great afternoon.